John Busby with a Culture Buzz. We're having too much fun, so I've got to start sharing this conversation with you folks out there. Jim Autry has become a wonderful friend. He's someone I love sharing with you folks out there, because anytime he's involved with some kind of literary project, any creative project, cultural project, you know it's going to be good stuff. And the first time he mentioned this to me was at a lunch some time back, and he was excited. He was like a little kid getting ready for Christmas, because he said, "Oh, I've got to tell you about this project, John. I've got my next book coming up, and it's with my son Rick." And well, I'll be honest with you, it's more Rick than me, but this is a good project, and it's called Everyday Virtues: Classic Tales to Read with Kids. As soon as I started finding out more about this, I knew that this was a winner indeed. And I have James A. Autry and Rick Autry in the studio now so that we can talk about this book. This book is rich with the content. The subject matter is fantastic. Just like it says, Classic Tales to Read with Kids. Hello. We're not saying we're obvious about it, but let's just let you know up front what this is about. Great illustrations. There's so much to talk about. The main thing is I'm going to mention this a few times. If you want to find out how to get a copy of the book, there are a couple of ways. The quickest ways, go to rickautry.com. Right there on the cover page, bang, bing, bongo, bungo, there it is. Everyday Virtues, Classic Tales to Read with Kids. Or if you're here in the greater Des Moines area, just go up to Alice's bookstore, Beaverdale Books. Alice will do her best to keep those books in stock. Get there quick. If she's out of it, she's sold out. She'll get more copies there. Trust me on that. Jim, I'm going to start with your son, Rick, because you graciously give a lot of the credit to your son for this book. Talk about this, because I understand this was a long time in research, conceiving, and everything, Rick.
Oh, absolutely. We really came up with it originally back in the it was in the 1990s. It was 1997, and so we were looking at you know Bob Bennett had the books of the Virtues for Children and all that stuff, and those were kind of, it was kind of a big thing at the time, and I'd looked at that. My kids were a lot younger back then. My youngest is like 22 now, so. At any rate, I was looking at that book. It was so thick, and a lot of it wasn't really narrative stories. They were things that I wasn't, you know, I was looking for narratives. When I read with my kids, and I read with them every night, pretty much, I read with my kids. I just love doing that. I love telling stories. I guess that's why I'm a lawyer. Anyway, stories I was finding, they didn't illustrate quite the virtues I was looking for, and they were, as I say in my introduction, for example, you know, thriftiness is great, and it's a virtue and stuff, but you never go to a funeral and people talk about, Karen was so thrifty, oh yeah, yeah, and it's not something you're raising your kids, you know, they were so thrifty, you know, so I was looking for something, you know, that would last a little longer. And so I started finding stories, places, and started putting them together. I told Dad about it, and he talked about making a book. And we put together about half of the book. And he contacted the publishers, and I think they were probably saturated at the time, and nobody wanted to publish it, and we set it aside. For some reason, I mean, this is 97, guys. Ain't no internet in 97. How did I do the research? I had to go to a library, the Irvindale Library, and check out books and take them home and read through them and look to see if find books, story books, see if I can find stories that fit the bill. I had some already that I'd found when we had the idea for the book, but then I tried to find some more, and I cataloged them, and I kept, I'm sort of organized, so I had, I was.
Sort of.
Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah. Some
way. What a blessing, though.
You couldn't tell from my desk I'm organized, but yeah, I.
But you know exactly where every piece of paper is, so that's what counts.
Yeah, exactly. Well, anyway, so for some reason, for 20 years, I mean, Microsoft Word was different back in those days. So I imported the files and kept them all up, and then Dad contacted his current publisher, and they said, "Oh, we'd love to publish it." So which is good news, and so it's bad news because I had to write the second half of the book.
Now you had to dig in. Well, I love the fact that this expands a palette to very readable, very, I mean, it's so easy to immerse oneself into this, but I can see, because as I was reading some of these stories, I can see reading these to and with a child, but also gaining something from it in return. So it's just like this was a natural extension for a lot of the work you've already done, Jim.
Yeah, well, and it was in the back of our mind that the adults who read this would also get a lot out of it. But where we started, or where I started, was looking at being in a restaurant and sitting and watching young people not talk to one another but do their cell phones, finding little kids who've got this. Anyway, I thought, you know, in the guy who wrote Clockwork Orange.
Stanley Kubrick.
No.
He produced the movie.
Kurt Vonnegut?
I know we're good. Yeah.
Kubrick was the movie. But, yeah, it's great.
But anyway, the author of that, I heard him one time at a conference, and he said, literacy is the future of the world. And I've thought about that a good deal. I thought, well, there is digital literacy, but reading books is still the primary source of what I would call literacy. So I thought, parents and grandparents and uncles and aunts and whoever else reads to kids could use a tool that helps pull the kids away from their digital obsessions, if only for a little while. And this seems to be appealing to people. I think parents are often very frustrated that they can't capture the attention of the kids away from the digital. Part of that is because the parents are sort of stuck on the digital. So we're hoping to do something that has a little social value as well as entertain people with great stories.
Well, the beautiful thing about this is you can let the other generation you're working with these stories know, here's a story, it's a few pages long, let's just have some fun for a few minutes. And as they get more accustomed to what that interaction really means, then they can expand, and you've got a whole book full of this.
Exactly. We're thinking this is stretches from about 3 or 4 years old up to 11. We're not so dumb as to think that when kids get to the hormonal stage, they're going to be reading these stories. But I think up to that point, they will. And, you know, we call it virtues. And I will tell you that there are six virtues: justice, humility, courage, compassion, freedom, and respect. And within each of those, the book is organized 4 stories with each of those. And the stories are followed by explanations of where the stories come from, as well as a bibliography. And we even have a pronunciation guide with some of the names that are foreign to us.
Well, you kind of used the world as your shopping ground, didn't you, Rick, on this whole thing? Because, I mean, as I started going to the stories, I said, whoa, this isn't your basic Aesop, is it?
No, exactly. I as I said, I read all those books, all those stories, and I was looking for, number one, a striking story. I mean, a story that when you read the story, you remember it. As I said in the introduction, and again, I'm not Ray Bradbury, but as I said, the writer who I admire is Ray Bradbury. Somebody once asked me, well, what kind of stories does he write? And I said, he writes stories you can read in 20 minutes and you remember for the rest of your life. And that's what we're aiming for. And these aren't original stories. Some of these stories have been told for a couple thousand years because they're a darn good story. And that's what I look for first. And those aren't a dime a dozen. So you do end up looking. I didn't intentionally go to look out for stories all over the world. Maybe this is a lesson about diversity. When you're looking for the best, you end up getting stuff from all over the world. That's just how it ended up. Because I thought I was getting the what I thought were the best illustrations, the best storytelling. And they ended up coming from, not on purpose, it's just the way it worked out.
And even though we're trying to pull the kids away from digital and the internet made the researching on these stories much easier.
It's how you use the tool. It's not that you use the tool all the time.
That's right. That's right.
You brought up a great point earlier, Jim, that really is, in my mind, a cornerstone of Everyday Virtues. And by the way, folks, Everyday Virtues, classic tales to read with kids, you can get it up at Beaverdale Books. If you go to rickautry.com, you can order it that way. But one of the cornerstones that you brought up was this is more for like reading with children 2 to 11 years old. And after that, hormones and everything else takes on. But I start thinking back in my life from 2 to 11, the literature that influenced my life that maybe I never read again. But when it crossed my path 10, 20, 30, 40 years down the road, that memory was still there. That's what everyday virtues in my mind will mean to this next generation.
And we hope that they'll take the lesson of the virtues away. Some of these stories are you know, a higher level than a four-year-old will understand. However, there are stories in there that if they're read with different voices and different accents and a little music to their to the sound of it, kids will remember that. So I think that it's not easy to write stories that stretch that far, but if you think about the great stories, even think about the great movies, they don't have an age attached to them.
No.
You know, if you like Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, you may have liked it when you were 20 as well as when you were 2.
And Rick, you brought up a good point as well, and that is thematically, there are some stories that are just plain great stories. They've been translated in different languages, in different cultures throughout the world, but that basic thread is there, that core essence.
The lesson to be taught.
Exactly. Well, this is going to be just a lot of fun watching this book get out into the world. It's called Everyday Virtues, Classic Tales to Read with Kids. It is available. The quickest way, the easiest way, go to rickautry.com. It's right there for some reason, right there on the homepage in big, beautiful, bold color. You can also go up to Beaverdale Books if you're here in the greater Des Moines area. And trust me, I will keep you informed because there's going to be a book tour. Jim has already said I'm going to be going down to the South, and it's going to be great fun going down there. We're going to be lots of locations throughout Iowa and the upper Midwest, so we'll keep you posted about this. Now, I want to mention something else, kind of an odd thing to talk about on the radio, but this is why you're going to have to look up rickautry.com, and that is the illustrations for this.
Yes.
The very special part of it.
Mickey Carlson, many of your listeners will know who Mickey is. She had a studio here, worked as a commercial artist, a designer, and she's just a terrific illustrator. And the big question is, how do you illustrate this without getting into ethnicity and race and gender and all of that? So she used animals and we picked one of the stories out of each of these virtues to illustrate. And these drawings are just simple black and white ink drawings that they're extremely elegant and they're just wonderful. We're going to have at our book appearances, we're going to have those drawings printed on an 8.5 by 11 page to give out for people so kids can color them because they're just black and white.
That's perfect.
Yeah, and coloring books seem to be big these days, so good.
That's great. This has got to be a fun moment of kind of one of those rest stop moments in this long journey to just kind of reflect on this. I would look at this, and if I would have been part of this, I would have said, wow, this feels so good to reach this. Now the real work comes, and that is in getting the book out into people's hands.
Yes. And the people who've endorsed the book are pretty much out of the education field because we want teachers to realize that these are wonderful, but teachers and librarians, and we'll be doing some visits to libraries and hope doing things with teachers and others to spread the word. And it's not just about selling books, although we'd love to sell a bunch of books. In fact, they make a wonderful Christmas present.
I think they would make a marvelous Christmas present.
But it's part of it's getting the story out and getting the people to focus on these virtues. And I want to repeat, Rick did most of the work. I did some editing and a little organizing, but I'm mainly doing promotion and all the follow-up work.
Well, let me say, when they send things out to edit and they ask us that, you know, after you've written them, and they say, can you edit these? And Dad did these edits, and he gave them to me, and I'm like, to check his edits. I'm sort of saying, are you, what? What? I'm going to check your edits. You've been editing for 60 years. No, no, that would be a waste of time. So, yes, he's great at it.
I noticed one of the people who has endorsed this book, and rightfully so, but she wouldn't do it if it didn't fall in line with her own personal philosophy, is Christy Vilsack. And
yes.
Her literacy work is just... She's so famous for the literacy work she's done.
Yeah, she did the work with the State Department and the Department of Education, and she has taught for years and years. And storytelling is core to her. And I knew that if she endorsed the book, that meant that it was good. That it had great educational value as well as storytelling value.
Well, it's going to be a great book to. If you're a grandparent out there, an older parent who maybe is an empty nester, and you've got kids and grandkids in the neighborhood or people who come to visit, here's a thought, and that is get a copy for yourself to have sitting around at your home, make some fresh cookies, and get one of the grandkids or some of the grandkids and the kids from the neighborhood to come over and have an Everyday Virtues reading party. And just say, kids, I've got a whole book full of great stories here, but today I'm only going to give you one story. And then have that happen, and then they're going to have to come back, and time again, as long as you keep baking cookies, find ways to share this. And I'm saying this from an adult perspective because I'm having a great time reading this book, and I'm already thinking applications of who I can share them with, the stories with. And you will understand the same thing, the same benefits. Go to rickautry.com. That's your quickest access to get your copy of the book. But I just my mind's racing seeing all the possibilities. I love the coloring concept too, because then they're going to say, oh, what story did this go with? And so bang, there it is.
It's a good idea.
Yeah. Well, see, that's all I'm good for is a good idea too here. So,
well,
but it's a wonderful work. As you said, this is an instant success over 20 years in the making, and we're going to have a grand time watching this get out to the world. Anytime you have a project that is this marvelously conceived and thought of, and this imbued with such content, you know it's going to be good. So I can only give this a highest of recommendations from the little old Culture Buzz perspective. So Everyday Virtue, Classic Tales to Read with Kids, that's your book of the year, book of the decade. Make sure you get a copy. Once you get a copy, you're going to have to get several copies because you're going to have to share with friends, things like that. But this is marvelous. Go to rickautry.com for the book. You can connect there. Go to Beaverdale Books. You can get a book there. What other parting shot? What else have I missed here? Have we covered just about everything?
I think we have.
You think so?
Seems that way to me. How about you, Rick?
Hey, I can always tell another story.
Yeah, he can.
I love it. Stories are what really makes the world go round. Stories that have this kind of virtue instilled in this, they're steeped in these wonderful traits of virtue. You're going to be a winner. This world needs this right now. So pick up your copy and make this a better world by doing so. Gentlemen, thank you so much, and thank you for this gift.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, John. Yeah.